Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Then, looking at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. And then the book of James, James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Verses 1 through 27, all of James chapter 1. Father, thank you, Lord, for the powerful and the eternal counsel, the wisdom, the grace, the strength, the joy, the empowerment that's ours as we take time to read and meditate on your word. Father, more and more, help us to better understand the critical place your word has in our lives and the need for us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. Help us to recognize your word is the key to everything, and your word is you. Help us to be wise enough to spend much time with you and your word every single day of our lives. In spite of busy and full schedules, help us to know, Lord, that we're called to put you first and to make time to spend significant time with you in your word and thus be better equipped and be blessed by the blessing that comes that follows doing just that. We thank you and then we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to praise your name and say you are holy. Father, I ask you'd help us grow in worship, that we'd spend more time just in adoration of your awesomeness, Father. Father, I also ask that you would call us into more holiness ourselves, that you'd grow us in your word, that you'd grow us in obedience, that you'd grow us in reading scripture. Father, I ask that today we'd get our daily bread from you, from the bread of life, from Jesus himself. Father, I ask that you'd speak to us, that we'd be available and listening. And Father, I ask that you'd protect us from evil, that we would walk in your name more and more every moment. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, we share articles that we're encouraging you to both listen to, but also take time to email us to get copies of them so that you'll have them for your personal just discipleship library, but also tools to use for the discipleship of your family, but also tools that you can forward to others by way of email yourself as well, forwarding them to extended family members, fellow church members, fellow workers on the job, saved and unsaved individuals, and any and everyone else the Lord puts on your heart to share them with. This article is entitled, one we've shared before, but an encouraging one. It's entitled, God's Word, Three Chapters a Day. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. Then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, Hebrews 4, 12. Practicing daily spiritual habits are necessary in our daily walk with the Lord. Why is this true? Because followers of Christ are to be passionately faithful. In life, we form habits to help us consistently do things that are important to us, habits that help us accomplish the goals we believe are critical to our lives. I pretty regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least three chapters in God's Word every single day. This habit is one of the most important habits we can establish in our lives, at least three chapters. Why three chapters and why every day? Well, if a believer reads three chapters in the Word of God every day, that can be a basic spiritual meal for him or her. It might be that you read the same chapter three times, or you may read three different chapters. Doing either is fruitful and very wise. How is this helpful? Well, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's one-on-one time talking and spending time with Jesus. It's your daily appointment time with Him. The Lord Jesus will spend as much time with you as you will spend with Him in His Word. It's important for us to read the Word daily. Just as our bodies need physical food every day, so we too must feed our spirits daily as well. God's Word is food for our spirits, like physical food is food for our physical bodies. Feeding your physical body every day can help you to be strong, vibrant, and healthy. Feeding your spirit the Word daily can help you to be strong, vibrant, and spiritually healthy. Now, if a man or woman only ate a small snack once every other day, very soon he or she would grow physically weak. Likewise, when a believer only reads a verse or two from the Word of God daily or every other day, he or she will become spiritually weak as well. Sadly, it appears that too many believers live on what you might call a starvation diet spiritually. It's spiritual neglect. Too many believers may not even pick up a Bible for days. It's for this reason that many believers are spiritually anemic, spiritually weak and frail. My suggestion to you is today, start the habit of reading at least three chapters in God's Word daily. It's a way of blessing and rewarding yourself. See Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, and Genesis 15, verse 1. Why not start rewarding yourself today? Here are 10 great reasons to start reading God's Word every single day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Number two, reading the Word daily gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105, and 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17. A third reason to read the Word daily, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Number four, reading the Word daily sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Number five, reading God's Word daily ministers to your mind, body, and spirit, your entire being. See Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. A sixth reason to read God's Word daily is because reading the Word of God daily helps you maintain your mental health. Number seven, a seventh reason to read the Word daily, it increases God's anointing in every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. An eighth reason to read the Word of God daily, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs chapters 1 through 3. A ninth reason to read God's Word daily, it enhances your intellect and personality. It literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. And then a tenth and final reason as to why reading God's Word is so important on a daily basis is it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Reading three chapters a day from God's Word will bless you tremendously as a habit. Let's make it a high priority. And parents, we're wise to have each of our children read three chapters out loud to us every single day also. It will greatly bless them and you and your home. Father, thank you again for the privilege we have of being able to daily read and meditate on your Word and receive the tremendous grace, blessing, joy, and strength that comes from doing just that. Help us all to become faithful to make that habit of reading at least three chapters a day and being blessed by it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The article is entitled God's Word, Three Chapters a Day. To get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get you a copy. We'll be right back.
speak from heaven. We call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven. We call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven. We call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness. Super amazing.
Music of Dunson Oyekan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. And for the balance of the broadcast, we want to look at the topic today, being a hearer and doer of God's Word, the critical place of obedience. Again, the topic, being a hearer and doer of God's Word, the critical place of obedience. And of course, this is a foundational truth for every believer everywhere under all circumstances. We're all called to be students of God's Word, believers who diligently read and study the Word of God, but reading it in order to do it. Remember, the goal is not just to read Scripture. It's meant to be applied. Remember, truth is always meant to be applied. We're not just to learn it. We're to learn it in order to live it out. The word hearken, which is an Old Testament, I guess sort of a King James word, but the word hearken means hear in order to do. So it's really a very fruitful word to consider. We're called to hearken to God's Word as a lifestyle. We're to hear it with an intention to put it to work in our lives. I want to invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus chapter 3 and want to look significantly at the life of Moses. Now, keep in mind, sometimes, sadly, we make the big mistake of trying to sort of put on a pedestal all the people in Scripture, especially the heroes. But keep in mind, every believer, every follower of Christ is called to be faithful. And God can use every faithful believer to do exploits in His kingdom if we would but hear and do God's Word. If we're hearers and doers of that which God calls us to do. So in Exodus chapter 3, picking up at verse 1. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, "I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. So this, say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.' This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, 'I have been watching closely, and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. The elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God.'" Verses 1 through 18, Exodus chapter 3. Here we have in Exodus chapter 3, somewhat of an introduction to Moses. Well, Moses is introduced actually from the first chapter, but here is the calling of Moses to go forth to be the deliverer that God would use to deliver his people out of Egypt. But powerful to keep this important point in mind. Moses' life could be divided up into 3 40-year periods: 40 years as a prince in Egypt, 40 years as a shepherd in the wilderness, and then 40 years as the deliverer and the leader of the Israelites in the wilderness. Well, again, keep in mind, Moses is a towering figure in all of Scripture. He's significant in so many ways. Think of some of the things Moses accomplished. Keep in mind, Moses, he was called by God to be the deliverer of Israel from Egypt. Now, keep in mind, as you read the passage, you may think, well, God said he was going to deliver the Israelites, and then he told Moses to do it. Well, keep in mind, that's a very powerful insight and truth to understand about a calling. God does things in the earth through his people. He will anoint us individually and collectively as the church to accomplish his will. So it can be said that God did certain things, and it could be said that you did certain things. But remember, when we obey God and walk out the call of God upon our lives, we're moving in the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit. So it can be said that God did it, and it can be said that we did it in the power of the Holy Spirit as well. So both are accurate statements. So, yes, God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel. It was the power of God that brought it about, but Moses was God's instrument. Think of some of the powerful things that Moses accomplished, though. He was used by God as the deliverer of Israel from Egypt, but also God gave us, through Moses, Moses delivered the Ten Commandments to Israel and to all the world as well. And Moses communicated to Israel the Passover, what it was about, and how to carry out the great Passover, the annual festival called, that we refer to as the Passover. Moses also wrote about 20% of the whole Bible. No other author wrote nearly that much of Scripture, but 1/5 of the whole Bible was written by Moses, what we refer to, the first five books, the Pentateuch. And those are just some of the things Moses accomplished. But note here, as we look in chapter 3, we see God approaches Moses about calling him to be the deliverer. And note how Moses reacts. Moses is excited at the prospect of knowing that God is going to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, because, of course, that has been a desire on his heart to see his people delivered out of Egypt. But then when God tells Moses that he's calling Moses to do it, Moses reacts pretty, he's not overly excited about that. Again, he was probably very excited about the idea of learning that God was going to deliver them and bring them out of bondage and bring them out of Egypt and get them out of the terrible situation they were in. But when Moses saw that God wanted to use him as the key instrument to accomplish that, Moses is very hesitant. He comes with excuses, more or less tells God, God, I can't talk too good, and what about this and what about that? And God patiently and graciously responds time and time again to what Moses has to say. But then finally, Moses, before the conversation is over, says, God, please get somebody else. And how does God react? God becomes angry. Now, when you have opportunity, I would encourage you, go back and read Exodus chapters 3 and 4 and look at the whole conversation. It's a powerful conversation. But in many ways, at this point, Moses, in many ways, sounds a lot like you and I. Often when God lays upon our heart a calling, a work he's calling us to do, too often in our humanness, we come up with excuses. We sometimes will actually try to convince God that, Lord, I'm not the right man or person for the job. I can't do this. I can't do that. Can't you find somebody else? But the reality is the Word of God tells us the call of God is without repentance. When God calls you to do something, know this, he's not going to change his mind. Your calling is your calling. Now, you can either choose to obey and be used mightily by God to accomplish important kingdom work, or you can disobey and be pretty discontent and be pretty miserable, because the fact is God is not going to change his mind. So keep in mind, we're called to be hearers and doers of God's word. Yes, God was calling Moses to be the deliverer, to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses felt very inadequate, but remember God's word to him is, I will be with you. Those are very important words, not only for Moses to have heard, but those are important words for you and I to hear as well. When God calls us, he is going to be with us every step of the way. Whatever he's calling you to do, if he's calling you to be a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a janitor, a farmer, whatever he's calling you to do, remember, whatever he calls you to do, he's calling you to do it in the power of his Holy Spirit, and you're to glorify him in doing a job of excellence, of carrying out that calling. And remember, every calling is very, very important. One of the tragedies in our humanness that too often we as people can make is sometimes we may think, well, my calling's not very important. God doesn't have any unimportant callings. Whether you perceive how important it is or not, it's extremely important, because no two people have the same unique calling and callings upon their lives. Each human being has a place that actually no one else can take quite the way that person can. So it's important to know that God only gives out important callings. So whatever your calling is, it's important for you to seek God to find out what it is and walk it out passionately and faithfully, because it's important. And remember this, you are a gift to the world, a unique gift. And the more you walk out that calling, the greater blessing and gift you become to the world. Lord, thank you for every believer listening. Thank you for the calling and the callings upon each and every one of our lives. And thank you for the fact that all of our callings are very, very important. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us to recognize, Lord, that whatever it is that you're calling us to do is very important, and that we are a gift to the world that can be manifested. The more we yield to your powerful, wonderful Holy Spirit, the greater a blessing we become to the world. Help us, Lord, to be wise enough to, with all of our hearts, seek you and to find out your calling upon our lives and to walk that out. Help us to know, Lord, that it's not just a little bit important, but it's extremely important that we fully fulfill all the call of God upon our lives. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of prayer. And help us to know, Lord, that as we seek you in prayer, that we come to listen to your Holy Spirit more and more clearly for divine guidance and direction as we discern the call of God upon our lives and walk it out. Help us to be faithful to be doing that each and every day. Help us to grow in our commitment to being students of your word. Help us to grow in our commitment of being the prayer warriors you've called us to be as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking today at the topic, being a hearer and doer of God's word, the critical place of obedience. We'll be right back. From the group Mosaic, song simply entitled Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, being a hearer and doer of God's word, the critical place of obedience. And again, obedience to the word of God is such a foundational truth for every believer to grasp. We're called to be diligent students of God's word who read and meditate on the word daily. And we're called to be doers. We're called to live what we learn from God's word. So keep in mind, again, just being a diligent student who reads but doesn't follow through, again, you're missing a huge part of everything God has called you to be and do. God's Word and the Holy Spirit give us our marching orders. It's our job to obey, to do what we're called to do. So reading the Word of God and living the Word of God is what every believer, every disciple all over the world is called to do. Again, Exodus chapter 3, picking up at verse 4, it says, "When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' 'Here I am,' Moses replied. 'Do not come any closer,' the Lord warned. 'Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, 'I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt.' But Moses protested to God, 'Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?' God answered, 'I will be with you.'" Again, reading verses 4 to 12 of Exodus chapter 3. Now, keep in mind, I want you to picture this. What if Moses had said to God, "God, I tell you what, I'm going to serve you, but I tell you what, I really don't want to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay here in Midian, keep watching the sheep. I'll start teaching Sunday school in church, and I'll sing in the choir. I just don't want to go be involved with delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt." Now, keep in mind, the word for that is disobedience. We don't serve God on our own terms. We listen to God and do what he has told us. Keep in mind, sometimes we'll come up with ways whereby we think, "Well, God, I hope you'll just accept this. I don't want to do what you're telling me, but I hope that you'll help us come up. I hope that you just let me do what I want to do here in this place." Think of all the things, the blessings Moses would have missed out on, but think of the many blessings the whole world would have missed out on as well. Again, keep in mind, God, as we mentioned earlier, God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. God used Moses to deliver the Ten Commandments to the Israelites and to the world. He used Moses to share with them the Feast of the Passover, and he used Moses to write about 1/5 of the whole Bible. Here, one of the critical points we're trying to share is when we disobey God, not only do we miss out, but the world misses out on many, many blessings. Because remember, God's plan for our lives, his strategy, is the best possible life we can live. And we can be the maximum blessing to the world we can be by doing what God has called us to do. So we're not to try to come up with our own plan of how we're to live our life. We're to discern what God's plan is for our lives. We're to be hearers and doers of God's word, following his word and his Holy Spirit. I want you to look in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, and keep in mind here again, it draws out some critically important truths about obedience. Matthew chapter 7, picking up at verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.' Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. verses 21 to 29, Matthew chapter 7. So keep in mind, as these passages as well point out, obedience is not just a little bit important. Obedience is extremely important to every aspect of our Christian lives. And Isaac, I want to invite you, if there's things on your heart that you'd like to share on the topic, I want to invite you to do that at this time.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the story of Moses was really influential to my walk in my testimony. Whenever I heard Moses' story as a young kid, it came to my attention that he said, "Who am I? I'm bad at speaking. How am I going to be good at speaking?" And I can just imagine the angels just kind of shaking their heads like, this guy just doesn't get it. Like, who made his mouth? Mm-hmm. Who gave him the ability to speak? Who gave him wisdom to understand things? And I decided that I wanted to learn from Moses' mistake. There were consequences for him saying that. Whenever he goes up on the mountain to get the tablets from God, like he comes down the first time and they'd made a golden calf. Mm-hmm. Who helped them get that together? Aaron. Mm-hmm. God gave Moses Aaron because he doubted who God could make him to be. Mm-hmm. And so I decided pretty early on, Father, I want to trust you. I don't want to count on my own ability that I have self-imposed. I don't want to create limits on myself that you have not placed on me. Because, Father, if I can do anything, it is because you have equipped me to do so. I wanted to try to trust God, unlike Moses did in that little moment. It's difficult sometimes. Sometimes I need reminders. But I just want to encourage you listeners that you can trust God in this. Like, if you think that you're unable to do something, that might be your definition of your own abilities. And I think God can provide however much he needs to get his own work done.
You know, I appreciate you sharing all those insights, Isaac. And I think it's important for us to know, in all of our lives, the fact is, God would never call us to do something we cannot do. He calls us to do things we can only do in the power of his Spirit and in his wisdom.
Amen.
But he'll never call us to do something we cannot do. And you know, just in line with what you shared, a wise thing for us all to do is, yes, one of the purposes of God laying out the insights and the stories and the accounts in Scripture is for us to learn from them and not have to make some of the same mistakes they made. And so we have an advantage. Many times they didn't have somebody to read in Scripture about, you know, but we do. So we're to learn from every individual mentioned in Scripture the lessons that can be drawn from their lives. So thank you for sharing that then. And so just an encouragement to every believer is to keep in mind obedience is extremely important because, again, we become more and more like Christ as we obey the Word of God, but we, again, become a greater blessing to the world. As I mentioned earlier, every believer is a unique gift to the body of Christ and to the world. And the more we walk into our calling, the more we move in the power of the Holy Spirit, the more we place ourselves more fully in the hands of the Holy Spirit, the greater blessing we become to our own lives, to our families, and to the whole wide world. Every person is a gift, a unique gift. And nobody is a cookie-cutter human being. God doesn't make people that way. Each person is unique in their gifts, their strengths, their abilities, all that God designed them to be. It's important that we take that, give it back to God, and allow him to maximize who we are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to be hearers and doers of your word. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity of being able to open your word every day, and thank you for the ways in which you pour grace and peace and joy and strength and power and encouragement and wisdom into our hearts and our minds more and more as we simply read and study your word. Help us more and more by the power of your Holy Spirit to be wise enough to be doers of your word. Help us to recognize that our obedience to your word and your spirit is critical to everything in walking out the call of God upon our lives and living out the Christian life. Help us to know, Lord, that every day, in your plan, we will become and be a great blessing to the world around us as we simply obey you, yield to your Holy Spirit, and walk in love as you've called us to do. What a privilege, what a blessing it is, Father, to walk out your calling on our lives. Thank you for the wonderful gift of the calling and callings, plural, that we have. More and more, help us to fulfill all the call of God upon each of our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never invited Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day to make that step. If you'd like to ask Christ to save you and make you brand new, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I can be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and committed your life through to the Lord today, would you get in touch with us? Email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord, to put down roots deep in the Lord Jesus Christ, in your new relationship with him. Please get in touch with us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch. We'd like to share that information with you. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, the title of the article, God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day, simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Today, we've been looking at the topic, being a hearer and doer of God's Word, the critical place of obedience. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.